This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
It all begins today, and we have got you covered from every single angle on the NCAA tournament. It is Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, on Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Joseph Fortenbaugh, fresh off a just spicy ESPN Bet Live two-hour edition that I caught the majority of. He is now locked and loaded for the next 3 hours with us. And where else would we start, Joseph, but with pizza money right out the gate? Hit it, Hammond!
Day betting alert! Day betting alert!
That's right.
Happy holidays, first and foremost. Happy holidays to everyone out there. It's great to spend the holiday season with you. Thank you for choosing us as your radio show. The game is starting soon. We're coming right out of the gates. Mid-level bet here. We've got big ones we like. We'll share them throughout, but we're going to go Mississippi State, Michigan State over 130 points. Over 130 points. A lot of people out there see this as a defensive matchup. Here's the thing. It's priced too low. Open 128. Bet up to 130, should be around 133. So I see value in the over, okay? This is the lowest total of any of the last 24 Mississippi State games, lowest total of any of the last 12 Michigan State games. Why? Great defense, slow tempo, right? Look at Michigan State, at home, elite defense, 61 points per game allowed. But when they get away from home, when they don't have the friendly confines, they're giving up 70 points per game. It jumps by 9. That's a significant increase. That's going to be the difference in this game. Day betting alert, number one, Mississippi State, Michigan State, over 130 points.
Officially not part of the pizza money collection, but a day betting alert.
Correct.
To kick us off today.
Pizza money are our big wagers. We will have pizza monies throughout. We gave you Colorado last night. It came down to the free throws. Damn it, Joe Fortenbaugh told you free throws were going to matter. And in the final minute, when they were trying to cover the spread, Colorado was fouled 3 separate times. They had 6 free throw attempts. They hit them all. I think they were 15 of 16 on the game. That was the difference. Covered. Nothing matters like free throws. Nothing.
Covered those 3.5 points nicely. And we get off to a good start there. It is Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. So, Joe, we never officially laid out our final four picks, our national championship picks. So let us get right to it. Now, as we do this, a reminder, if you have not filled out your bracket as of yet, you are going right now to the ESPN Tournament Challenge. You are signing up and you are joining the ESPN Radio group to go up against us. Our brackets are up there. The entire lineup's brackets are up there. Everybody get involved right now on the men's and on the women's side. They are all ready to go. Joe, I cede the floor to you for your final four and a little analysis about how you got there.
Going to go with UConn in their region. I should probably be able to recite the regions at this point. In the East, going to go with UConn. I'm going to start with this. When you're looking to find a champion, there's an anatomy of a champion angle I like to play. KenPom.com, tremendous website, advanced analytics. 21 of the last 22 champions, 21 of the last 22 champions have two things in common. Number one, they rank in the top 25 in offensive efficiency on KenPom. And number two, if you take their offensive efficiency ranking and add it with their defensive efficiency ranking, and that number is less than 50, boom, that's your anatomy of a champion. So if you rank 10th in offense, 10th in defense, you add that together, it's 20, it's less than 50, boom. That plus the offensive efficiency. There are nine teams that meet that criteria this year. UConn, Purdue, Duke, Arizona, Auburn, Creighton, Houston, Marquette, UNC. There is no Iowa State in there, no Tennessee in there, no Kentucky in there, no Baylor in there, no Illinois in there. As a result, I like UConn coming out of their region. Iowa State was not ranked in the preseason top 25 in the AP. That's a big red flag when it comes to teams running deep in the tournament based on history. I like UNC coming out of the West. Arizona's hit or miss. When they're at their best, they look like they could be the best in the country, but the floor can be relatively low. I'm taking Duke out of the South region. To be honest, this one was up for grabs. I think it was a good buy low on Duke. I don't trust Houston because they can't make their free throws. And then in the Midwest region, I'm playing Creighton. I do not trust Purdue at all. It's not just last year. Matt Painter has been to the dance 14 times as the head coach of Purdue. He's advanced to the second weekend only 6 times. Elite Eight once, that's as far as he's ever gotten. I don't really trust Tennessee either. Rick Barnes in April and March can be problematic. So Joe Fornball's Final Four, UConn, UNC, Duke, and Creighton.
I like it. I like it. You're wrong on a couple of them, and we'll cover that in a second, but I like
it. Not sure how you can like something that's wrong, but we'll get there.
I really was just indulging you. Here's the thing. You couldn't be more right about Connecticut. It's very hard right now to pick against UConn, just considering that from front to back, they have been the best team all season long. Anybody can get beaten on a day. We know this. But we also know that you have to factor in the entirety of what a team has done. And when Dan Hurley says that they have been the best team all season long, he's not wrong. He's got Tristan Newton. And Joe, I have to be honest, Cam Spencer has been so much more than I would have ever expected him to be. I watched all of his season last year at Rutgers, and he was pretty good, but he wasn't this. There is a truth that really exists when you get the right player into the right system, and it allows them to flourish. And that is what we have seen this year with Cam Spencer, who ended up being first-team all-conference. I love Connecticut out of the East.
Let me drive home one point there to support you, because we both like them. And I think it can all be summed up in just one question. What's the flaw with Connecticut?
They don't have one.
Exactly. Like, you look at coaching, you look at whether or not they're battle-tested, their conference, can they go on the road, offense, defense, turnovers, three-pointers, free throws, all of it. They're not flawed. They're not elite in everything, but they don't have a major weakness.
You want a tiny little flaw that I'm a little concerned about?
Sure.
Dan Hurley losing his cool in the wrong moment. And listen, he...
Has that been a problem in the past?
No, he's been an emotional guy. In the moment, in during the games, listen, Danny could get teed up with anybody, okay? But we have seen over the last few weeks the interactions with fans, things like that. I'm not saying he's going to go after a fan or anything like that. It's just...
Malice at the Palace?
No.
Okay. Just wanted to see what spectrum we were on here.
I just don't want to see him lose his cool at a crucial time that would hurt his team.
Okay.
But that, I mean, when we talk about concerns, that is a 0.5% concern out of 100%.
Chris Carlin, finding the concern with everything.
That's me.
Can't spell concern without C. CC, Chris Carlin, boom, we connect it all.
Exactamundo, Chachi. So we go to the West, and we're going to ride with Arizona. I know that you make a salient point when you talk about them at times have been a little bit hit or miss. I love how they have gotten here, Joe. They did not hide from really anybody all season long. You look at the non-conference of teams they played, Duke, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Alabama, FAU, Purdue. Like, they lost to FAU and Purdue, but tight games. And they beat those other teams that we just talked about. That is as impressive a non-conference a schedule as you can see. Here's the other thing, too. Caleb Love is a special, special player. And Ballo can be an absolute beast on the inside. I honestly think that Arizona is the strongest in the West region. And for whatever reason, I've said this all week, there are just times where North Carolina is the most talented team around, but they just, for whatever reason, have my attention that they could lose a bad game or two, because they have during the course of the year. In the South, I know you're screaming about the free throws. That's fine. Houston is the best defensive team in the country.
Can't hit free throws.
They had a bad game, Joe.
I'm not worried about the game. I'm worried about the free throws.
Yeah, again, I would point back to their entire season and say, where were the free throws an issue? This is too good of a team for me to go against them. Kelvin Sampson has I was around it not 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, in person, seeing what the energy is like just to shoot around this team. No BS. This is a team with excellent body language across the board. They've got great talent, and they have a leader in Shed that is as likable and as much liked by his teammates as there is, and you look at the talent. DeJuan Roberts is really good. Shed is really good. LJ Cryer is really good. Emmanuel Sharpe can shoot the basketball. I love everything about them and how hard they play. So I got Houston there. And then finally, you can knock me on this one. I feel the least confident in it, and I am well aware of what the problems are. Tennessee. I don't trust Rick Barnes. I understand this. But I also know that Dalton Knecht is... And Zach Edey gets a lot of the attention. Dalton Knecht is right there. He's right in that same discussion. So I am going to... It's not a flyer when you're picking a two seed. I got two ones and two twos, and I hate the fact.
Yeah, you really set that up as this noble selection. Like, I look, guys, bear with me here. Number two seed, Tennessee.
Really That's disappointed in myself for going very close to chalk. But I have Tennessee as that fourth team, and we go with God on that one.
You got any survivor pools? Anybody, any of you guys play survivor when it comes to March Madness? I've been bringing this up, and I'm feeling like a lot of people don't know about this. It works one of two ways. It's either each day of the tournament, meaning you need to pick one team today to advance. So for example, you could pick Arizona, but remember, if they win, you can never use them again. Or some just do it by round. You have today and tomorrow, you just pick one, and then one on the weekend. You've never done a survivor?
I have not done the survivor in this. What I am doing is picking players from different teams, and you add up their points, assists, threes, and all that stuff, kind of similar to fantasy that way.
Stats is what that's called. You're adding up their stats.
Yes.
That would be the word stats, short for statistics.
And I also am doing a couple of squares pools, like similar to Super Bowl, except you have something on every single game. Every single game there is a winner.
Nothing wrong with action everywhere.
Yeah.
Like literally, that's like going up to the roulette table. I'm going to want something on zero, double zero, and every single number. And they're going to look at you and they go, okay, we'll beat you percentage-wise, but let's go.
All right. So just to finish it out, once again, final four for me, Connecticut, Arizona, Houston, Tennessee. Your final four is Connecticut. Who else?
UNC, Duke, and Creighton.
And you have for the national championship?
It is UNC over Duke.
Okay. I am going Arizona over Houston. Arizona over Houston. Mm. Those are our picks. You still have a time, a few minutes here to get involved and play along with us. The ESPN Radio Group, as part of the ESPN Tournament Challenge, the men's and the women's brackets, our brackets are up there right now. So sign up, get involved, and join us, won't you? It is Carlin versus Joe, presented by Progressive Insurance. We will be giving you winners all day. That is somewhat ironic, considering what our story will be next. Regarding the biggest star in all of baseball right now, and a little bit of a problem that he's got going on with his interpreter. We'll explain in case you haven't heard next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
has Lux coming around third. He'll score standing. It is 5-2 as Shohei Ohtani comes up with his first run batted in as a Dodger.
Seeing him just do simple things better than everybody else, it's really neat.
And then all hell broke loose after game number one.
Yeah.
Carlin versus Joe. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. Quote today at progressive.com.
5-0 Michigan State. We got an over here. Let's knock down some buckets.
You're already jumping it at Mississippi State for missing their first shot.
Look, if I'm not going to get excited about this, I'm in the wrong line of work, okay?
I understand.
I can go back to trying to take the bar again. Maybe this time I won't play as much online poker. We'll have some more success.
Well, listen, this is working out so far. You're okay for the moment.
On the surface, yeah.
Then again,
on the surface, everything looks good.
Then again, you are hitching part of your wagon to the big fella, which is certainly uncalculated mistake. Now, in case you have missed the story, and if you have, I don't know where you've been, Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, Ipe Mitsuhara, has been fired by the Dodgers. Why? Because now there are claims that he has committed a massive theft from Ohtani in the neighborhood of $4.5 million that was owed to a illegal gambling operation out in California. As we know, sports gambling is not legal in California as of yet. So here's the deal. First things first, Mizuhara comes out, does a 90-minute interview with Tisha Thompson from ESPN, and lays out that Ohtani, he got deep into debt for gambling. Ohtani, he asked him for help, and Ohtani paid off the $4.5 million, or has paid off some of that money, and transferred the money himself through wire transfers. Then the story changed right thereafter. Let's let Tisha lay some of this out. ESPN investigative reporter. She was on earlier, Joe, with Freddie and Harry. Here's first what happened as to what Mizuhara told her in this 90-minute interview.
This is what Mizuhara said to me on Tuesday night before the game, that he had told Ohtani that Ohtani had offered to pay his debts, and that Mitsuhara showed or explained to Ohtani how to wire the money, and it was Ohtani who had logged into his computer and had sent the wire transfers at Mitsuhara's direction based on instructions Mitsuhara had been given to pay back the debt.
Okay, so as you're first hearing this, and we haven't even gotten to the juicy part yet, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking it's a friend bailing out another friend. It's a guy that took advantage of his friend. The interpreter takes advantage of somehow having access to Shohei Ohtani's money. I didn't realize the interpreter was going to have access to the money. Like, I understand he helps with the language barrier, and I've heard of financial advisors ripping off their clients, but that's because financial advisors have access to your accounts. So this sort of situation, I'm trying to sort through it. He gets jammed up. Somehow they allow him. And I'm going to explain all this in a minute, but the fact that he's allowed to roll up $4.5 million in debt is intriguing to me. But okay, Ohtani's going to bail his friend out, so be it.
Okay, so here's more from Tisha Thompson as to Mizuhara addressing the team about the situation on Wednesday, and Ohtani then finding out about what's going on here.
Ohtani, who is... He's not fluent in English, is my understanding. I've gotten that from lots and lots of people. But he's now been in the United States long enough where he can piece together enough words. And he was sitting there, and he thought something didn't sound right. And after the meeting concludes, there's meetings. Another interpreter is brought in. Ohtani, according to these two sources close to Ohtani's camp, say this is when he learned that there were any bank transfers, and when he discovered that money was missing in his bank account. The next thing we know is there is a statement that comes from the lawyers alleging massive theft. They don't name who did it. They just say authorities will be contacted.
Okay. So at first, Ohtani's people put Mizuhara out there, let him do a 90-minute interview, tell his story. Then they find out what the story is that he told them, and it's Oh, no, 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 no. Actually, there's been massive theft. No, we're backing up on all this.
He's disavowed. That was the word they used. Yeah. Just like in Mission Impossible, disavowed.
Joe, this ain't passing the smell test so far.
No, it is not.
No, it is not.
Why would you give him the okay to give a 90-minute interview to a little upstart called ESPN?
Yeah.
What are you thinking there?
I don't know.
Nobody present?
And then disavowing everything he said. Okay, so you present him for the interview, 90 minutes, you refute everything he says, and then we say that the money was stolen. There's no evidence here that Ohtani gambled, other than the bookie apparently telling people that Ohtani was a client to help drum up business. But there is, I can't allege anything. We don't know anything. But none of this sounds at all remotely like it is going to be very direct in the end of what this story is.
So let me explain how this works, because people who are unfamiliar with gambling might not understand how these dots are connected, right? Like, now, with the legalization of gambling, you download an app and then you download money into the account, and then you can make wagers because you have money into the account. That's not how it works with the illegal websites that have been around for a very long time. You play on credit. You establish a relationship with a bookie. They set you up with an account, a username, and a password. It's a very odd website. The name and the password are always very odd. It's not like it's real obvious for you to figure out for obvious reasons. Generally, the site might originate out of a place like Costa Rica or something like that. But what happens is you'll play on credit. You and the bookie will have a discussion as to what your limits are going to be. So they might have an account that says something like $5,000 is what you have to play with. And if you're ever up by $1,000 or down by $1,000 at the end of the week, we'll settle, which means we have to pay. If it's inside of the settlement number, we'll just roll it over to the next week. But that's how these accounts work. So once settlement comes, there are a variety of ways you pay each other. You can meet each other in a parking lot. You can send a FedEx package to the individual in question. All of this, by the way, not above board. I want to make very clear about that. This is all illegal. Or in this case, you're going to actually do a wire transfer. Now, here's where it gets highly suspicious. That bookmaker was allowing the interpreter to make wagers that ended up amounting to $4.5 million in losses. Like right now, if I tried to set something like this up, no bookie is going to allow me to lose $4.5 million because they know I'm not good for it. I don't have $4.5 million. So if you're allowing him to wager that much, that means for some reason you're confident you'll get paid if he's losing. And why would they be confident they're going to get paid if he's losing? Well, he's attached to Ohtani. Now, that doesn't mean Ohtani's necessarily involved here, but the bookmaker had to be awfully confident and Ohtani in some way, shape, or form was going to be the financial backing here, unless this interpreter has millions of dollars that we don't know about, which it appears he does not because he was borrowing from Ohtani. So just think about that for a second. The bookmaker had to allow this to happen. They were not putting the money in and then losing. They lost it on credit and then had to settle up.
I'm sorry. I understand people helping out friends. And I understand that there are that kind of money to Ohtani is certainly what, you know, to us, it's not the same level of money. But $4.5 million is still $4.5 million. I don't know who agrees to bail, no matter how close you are. I don't know who agrees to bail out another person unless we're talking in the billions. And Ohtani's got a fortune, but that still seems like a ridiculous amount of money for Ohtani to wire over to this illegal bookmaker. Now, Joe, maybe the story changed because it's illegal for a major league player to wire money to an illegal bookmaker. That's a problem in and of itself.
Yeah, so you don't need to be a major league baseball player to get in trouble for that. That's anyone doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Illegal, right? So maybe they wanted to take that part of it away from Ohtani. I'm sorry. Like, all the way around, it feels like somebody's taking a dive for somebody else. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know. I can't feel great about where this story is. Am I wrong in any way? I don't know.
I mean, it's suspicious to say the least.
Yeah. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Hey, we're going to get you updated with the very latest on the NCAA tournament. Plus, are the Bears about to reverse 50 years of history? That is after I tell you about this from our friends at Indeed. It's the perfect time to gear up and connect to quality candidates. And there's no better way to do that than through Indeed, the hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, interview candidates all in the same place. Their interview tool helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Next to hassle, start hiring, Indeed.com/credit.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Caleb Williams throwing for scouts at his pro day.
And they always post a bunch of highlights of me rolling around and stuff, but throw from the pocket quite a lot. You know, I didn't throw all 300 or 500 the year before from out of pocket. So I wanted to show that and show that I can do it consistently.
It wasn't earth-shattering, but it was solid. But I definitely think he wanted to put a message out there, which is, look, I am a pocket passer that also has the ability to extend and produce the dramatic plays. But this was a solid workout for him, and he's a guy who definitely is worthy of being considered the presumptive number one overall pick.
His pro day yesterday, Caleb Williams, looks like he is locked and loaded to be the number one overall pick. Mel Kiper Jr. in his weekly spot with us, ESPN, NFL draft guru to say the least, and of course, host of the First Draft podcast. Mel, Carlin, Joe, let's start here from a little nugget from this past weekend. What was your takeaway from the Justin Fields trade to the Steelers?
First of all, Joseph, Christopher, good to be with you guys. I think when you look at Justin Fields' trade, it was a early, late Christmas present, however you want to look at it, from the Bears to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, it was a giveaway, and I don't understand it. I never will. The quarterback position, the most important in any sport, quarterback in the National Football League, and you're going to gift a quarterback, 25-year-old quarterback who won for you, had the locker room, has the skill set to be a top 5-7 quarterback in this league, and gift him to the Pittsburgh Steelers, made no sense to me.
Mel, I think that's an excellent point. An excellent point because we talk, it can't be a great buy low for the Steelers and then also a good deal for the Bears. It just doesn't work that way with stocks. So as we work our way through, we talk about pro days, Caleb Williams, everything that happened at USC. Any reason for us to get excited, to get down, or did he just handle his business and we're all moving on?
Pro days are a joke. Okay, always have been, always will be. Okay, they're meaningless. It's just fun to throw it around. It's like me shooting threes out in my back here. I can do that, but you put somebody on me, I'm gonna miss everything. So the bottom line is they mean nothing because I can just tell you. I'll tell you for a fact. I got calls from NFL people, friends of mine, that said after the Peyton Manning pro day that if his name was Peyton Jones, not Peyton Manning, he'd be a third round pick. He had wobbly balls, bouncing passes, unimpressive. Jamarcus Russell, best pro day ever. Zach Wilson, best pro day ever. How'd that all work out? So to me, I could care less about pro days for quarterbacks or just about anybody.
Oh, God, that one throw for Zach Wilson that had everybody jumping up and down. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
What a disaster that turned into. Mel.
That was a highlight of the career so far, yeah.
It really is. By the way, if Justin Fields is going for a six, what's Zach Wilson going for? Nothing. Nothing right now. Mel, we look at the Cowboys. You know, they've got the Dak situation. They did not extend him this offseason, at least as of yet. And if they were going to do it, they probably would have done it already. Should they be looking at a quarterback on day two or day three? Is there somebody out there that they should maybe take a look at in case?
Well, a former quarterback, Trey Lance. We'll see if he can be developed. You know, that's the thing. Can they develop Trey Lance? What can happen there? There's quarterbacks like Spencer Rattler, who had a pretty good year at South Carolina overall. Xavier Leggett really came into his own this year. And Xavier Leggett's a first-round pick, potentially. I'm going to Detroit because of Spencer Rattler getting him the football. So Rattler's intriguing as a third, fourth-round type of guy. Michael Pratt won at Tulane, actually beat Caleb Williams, okay, a couple years ago in that bowl game. Michael Pratt's not going to wow you over with his arm. He's not going to wow you over with much, okay, in terms of the traits. It's not at the wow factor there. What he does, though, he wins. He can be accurate throwing the football. He can has great pocket awareness. He can beat the defense with his legs when he has to, as he did in that USC game when he needed to keep exchanging points and trading points with Caleb Williams. So he's the kind of guy, fifth, sixth round, is probably where Michael Pratt will come off the board, with Rattler more so in the third or fourth round area.
Mel, outside of the Cowboys, who are some other teams that could be very interested in the quarterback position, second round, third round, fourth round?
Well, a lot of these teams, I think they're all going to go into this thinking that, hey, we should get a quarterback. Some teams think they should take a quarterback just about every year in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. So there are teams that have that philosophy. But I think we'll have to see what goes on with the Raiders. What are the Raiders in? They took O'Connell in the fourth round, right? And then he make the move for Minshew. What are they going to do? Are they satisfied with that the way it is right now? We'll see on that end what they decide to do. But I think they're the team to really keep a close eye on. And then what do the Giants do? If they don't get J.J. McCarthy, okay, do they decide at some point to look at a quarterback who could be resetting the clock? And Daniel Jones, if he doesn't develop this year and stay healthy, they could go that. So if they don't get the quarterback like J.J. McCarthy at six and they have to go wide receiver, what decision will they do moving forward? It seems like they'll take a quarterback at some point, but, you know, if it's not at six, who would it be? And like I said, there's not a lot of names after the top group. And then you get into where does Michael Penix Jr. come off the board? I think more second round than first. Some though think first round. I have Bo Nix up at 12 to Denver, okay? And then you get into, like I say, the quarterbacks that I mentioned, and then if you want the big arm and you got to work with him, he's raw, it's Joe Milton, the third from Tennessee. But Joe Milton did not build on the Clemson and the South Carolina game from the end of the 2022 season and didn't have the kind of year that, say, a Hendon Hooker did. So Joe Milton, somebody may roll the dice on the big arm. To me, he's no better than the sixth, seventh round pick, but maybe the big arm will get him drafted a little bit higher than that.
Mel, last one. How does this quarterback class compare to next year's?
Well, it depends upon, first of all, how many of those guys decide to come out. But Shador Sanders from Colorado is going to be the number one pick overall, or be in line to be the number one pick overall next year. And Carson Beck from Georgia certainly will be a guy to keep an eye on to see if he develops like he has shown the promise already to be a high pick. And then we have to see how the transfers settle in. Cam Ward, you know, leaving Washington State, Miami. Uiagalelei going from Oregon State to Florida State. Things like that, I think we have to see how they develop, how those quarterbacks. Riley Leonard leaving Duke for Notre Dame. What happens there? But the two that really jump out are certainly Shador Sanders and Carson Beck.
Mel, we'll talk next week. Thanks, brother.
Thanks, Mel.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy the weekend, man.
All right. Mel Kiper Jr., ESPN NFL draft analyst. Hit it, little pizza money.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
Day betting alert.
Got to be honest, boys. Game just tipped. Can't give this one out.
I'm really?
Looking at it right now. Yeah, we're late.
Even live, we can't do it?
Nah, we can't do it. I'm not. We're going to have some integrity with this. This is, we're too late. No one's going to be able to do anything with it anyway. It's the BYU-Duquesne game. We'll go ahead. We'll move past it. It's all right. There's plenty more coming. We'll pick our spots a little bit better.
Served you up the old screw job. That's what we did.
It happens. We'll shake it off. It's all right.
Day betting alert.
It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We were just discussing the idea of the Cowboys taking a quarterback on day two. But what other teams are going to be looking at a quarterback outside of day one? We'll discuss in moments next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. NCAA Tournament Update.
All right, Joseph. Right now, finally, Mississippi State has decided to hit some shots. I got 20-15 here. Michigan State on top of Mississippi State with 6:40 left, although I am a little bit behind on as you. Am I accurate in that score?
Mississippi State trailing 22-15, just under 6 minutes to go. BYU hasn't scored a single point in what appears to be the opening 5 minutes. You should watch these guys. All they want to do is pass to each other. They love each other so much they keep passing. No one wants to get a shot up. Then someone has to jack it and they miss. It is a disgusting performance so far from BYU. 9.5-point favorite. Hasn't scored a point yet.
Oh my God.
This event as a whole is fantastic. Some of the basketball is so bad though. Like, you really have to get on record for that. It is so bad, some of this basketball.
It's true. It's in that first round or two, there's nerves, there's all kinds of different things, and then there's defense and there's teams that haven't seen each other before. It's all a bit of a mess at times. There's no arguing that. Not whatsoever. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. By the way, our day betting alert from earlier had us on Mississippi State in this game, on the over in the Mississippi State-Michigan State game.
Over 130 points, yes.
Okay. So we've got some work to do.
We do.
It wouldn't kill you, Mississippi State. What happened to, this is a team of big guys. This is a team of men.
A lot of talk. A lot of people told me the problem with me liking North Carolina was that in the second round, they'd get this Mississippi State team that would take them out. I think we may have overlooked Michigan State and also the lackluster shooting from a Mississippi State team that actually can't shoot at all.
Yeah, I don't want to call anybody out individually, but I thought Dallin Cuff saying that the other night on the air was really awful.
Well, Dallin does a really nice job. I do not stand by that comment. Yeah.
Oh, I do, because I'm not in Connecticut and I don't have to see him. Joe, we spent some time earlier this week talking about the Cowboys and the idea that I am convinced that they're going to be looking at a quarterback potentially on day two, given how everything has played out with Dak and given the fact that Jerry didn't want to pay him in the first place. But I want to throw out some teams. And I want to get an idea from you if we could see some of these other teams looking very closely at a quarterback on day two or day three and where they might be looking. Because you've got teams that have got some short-term answers, but maybe they're still looking for the long-term.
Okay.
I'm going to throw one out and throw a couple right at you, get your immediate response. Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, absolutely. They've got to be looking at quarterback. Wouldn't be surprised if they tried to do something earlier in the draft, like round one, because Geno Smith is not, in their eyes, the future, I believe. They're clearly arming up. They've got a new head coach. It's a new era in Seattle. You're going to need your quarterback in the future.
I would think that they would look very hard at that day two. Again, there are some guys that could be possibilities. I don't think you can be Seattle right now and take a quarterback on day one when you're sitting at 16. You're not going to do anything to go get that guy unless you fall in absolute love. The Rams.
Yeah, without question. The Rams need to start thinking about the Matthew Stafford succession plan. Not because there's anything wrong with Stafford, but at some point he's going to hang him up. I believe he's got 3 or 4 children. He and his family, he's a big family guy. You see a lot posted on social media about what they're up to. At some point, he's going to look at the legacy being secure, the Super Bowl being won, the money in the bank. Life is good. It'll eventually be time to walk away. That dude takes a pounding, and quality of life at some point will matter. That's not to say he's not a gamer or that he doesn't love it. It's just the end is near because he's going to ride off into the sunset. So Sean McVay's got to figure out who's next.
There's no question. And remember this too. They took Stetson Bennett last year in the fourth round, I believe, in the fourth round. And that did not work out. Stetson Bennett was basically a lot more interested in other things other than playing football.
Great college quarterback. He will always be remembered for what he did at Georgia, but there's a reason he slid in the draft, and it's not going to be a surprise to a lot of people if he doesn't pan out in the NFL. It's not a knock against the guy. Some guys are built for college. Some guys are not built to make the transition to the pros.
I don't think they were taking him to be the ultimate replacement, but I don't think they even loved him as a backup after he ended up in the building. Okay, Joe. The Dolphins.
Yeah. Oh, without question. I am not a believer in Tua. I'm really not. I know all these people will say, but he was in the MVP race last year. What does that exactly mean? What does that mean? Because when we got to the end of the season, was he in the race then, or was he in it early in the year when Miami was rolling up big numbers against bad teams like the Denver Broncos? Because when you talk about real MVPs, no one was making a case for him at the end of the season when it mattered. Tua's numbers jumped, his production jumped when he got a good head coach in Mike McDaniel and got some great weapons around him. But the reality is there are games where you're going to need your quarterback to go out and win them for you. He couldn't do that in any of those games. I think, what, 1-6 or 1-7 against playoff teams last year? The one team they beat, the Dallas Cowboys. Another team that couldn't beat anybody last year. So the reality is, Tua, I know that they're getting ready to hand him the bag. I think it's going to be a huge mistake. Maybe that's just me, but he is not the guy, in my opinion.
I think it's early for them to do it. And I only think it from this standpoint. They've got a lot of other things that they lost this offseason. And they have got to replace those if they are going to be competitors next year. And also keep this in mind. Dolphins only have a first and second round pick, and then they wait all the way to pick 158 in the fifth round. So it could be dicey trying to take a quarterback on day two. If you're looking at this, maybe it's more of a reserve guy later on.
My
at least
God,
that's my
did
take.
They mismanage everything. How do you have a quarterback on a rookie deal and you blow it with the salary cap and the picks? Like, yeah. How are you in such a bad situation right now with a rookie quarterback? The only other time I've seen this is Dallas. Dallas did the same thing. Like, they waited too long to pay the quarterback. They screwed everything up.
At least the 49ers have gotten to the Super Bowl. And to the championship game.
Yeah.
On a rookie
Niners
deal.
Have been good.
Yeah. How about the Tennessee Titans?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really know what the plan is in Tennessee.
They don't know what the plan is in Tennessee.
Like, Tennessee is one of those teams that strikes me as I'm just going to kind of stay away. I'm not buying. I'm not selling. If I'm doing anything, I'm selling. You went after Malik Willis. It appears it didn't work. Okay, so be it. You correct that by drafting Will Levis. But again, it's not like you're going after these highly touted top prospects. You're grabbing guys that are sliding and falling in the draft, and you're trying to make it work. And maybe it works with Levis. I don't know. But they just went out and handed a ton of money to Calvin Ridley, which didn't make a ton of sense to me. You let Henry go, but you bring in Tony Pollard. I don't really see the plan in Tennessee. I don't have an accurate answer for you because it feels like they need a lot, and they also feel like a team that's spending money just so they can say that they've done something. I don't see the plan in Tennessee right now. I'm not a big believer in them.
Well, that would be, what, 3 years in a row if they took a quarterback relatively early, because Willis was round three, Levis last year was round two. That would be a tough pill to swallow if you're a Titans fan. So it's not just what happened before Rand Carthon got there. It's since as well.
Yeah.
Giants.
I mean, look, the Giants are either in or they're out. There's none of this drafting a guy on day two, day three. Like, go get the quarterback. Go get a guy who's going to be the future or don't. There is no in-between for them. See, here's the problem with some of this day two stuff. When you draft a guy in the second round or high in the third round, you're kind of sending a message that you think he could be your future starter one day.
Yep.
That's the problem Atlanta ran into with Desmond Ridder. When they grabbed Desmond Ridder, people started thinking, okay, maybe this is the guy. So then as a result, you feel compelled to get him in there. And once he's in there, you feel compelled to give him a fair shake. You just kind of end up wasting your time if the evaluation isn't right. And it wasn't right in Atlanta. They wasted a lot of time. They didn't succeed at all. And then they fired everybody. That's the problem with Atlanta. So if you're going to draft one of these guys in the second or third round, he's eventually going to become the guy. You got to figure that sort of stuff out. For the Giants, you got to go out there and you got to find a way to get the guy. There's no doubt. There's no second and a half, third round guy where it's maybe he's the guy. Make the move.
You have crystallized my thoughts. You can't go tweener. You cannot go tweener when you're in this situation that they're in. And by the way, if you are drafting a quarterback not in the first round, that is doing nothing for Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. That does absolutely nothing to help their own individual situations, and they will be looking out for number one, too.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.